Hi.
Who's gonna speak first? Okay.
I guess I'll speak first. Hello. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Taxi Squad. I'm sorry, I'm so monotone as usual. Welcome back to the Taxi Squad podcast.
Where's
Yeah,
the energy,
super
bro?
crispy. Dude, you woke me up from a nap, bro. I'm ready to go back to bed. Oh my God.
right, well.
That's the energy has been drained, but I'll try to be better as the show goes on.
Yeah, at the beginning of this episode today, we're not going to talk about the most fun stuff either. So I'm not sure your energy will be regained for a little bit longer, but that's okay. We hinted at what we're going to talk about this episode in last
I mean,
week.
we didn't really hint at it. We basically blatantly said what we were
Yeah,
going to
we
talk
did.
about. So, yeah, there we go.
But before we jump into this, though, I just want to share. Yo, I've never seen this much snow in my life in one go.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Like yesterday
Yeah.
was so brutal. And the problem is, in my house, we don't have a snowblower yet.
I do.
We have changed that since yesterday. We literally came home from
Yeah.
shoveling and we're like, we're buying one right now. We don't care how much it costs. Because
Yeah.
even if you use it for like once a year or something, it's so
It's
worth it.
worth
It
that.
saves so much
Yeah.
time. Because the snow, like I think it had to be like 40 centimeters or something at least, because it came up to my
Yeah.
knees. And if you just shovel it, you can't throw it far back on your lawn. It just, if you shovel it, you just end up throwing it like in kind of one area and then it just piles up higher and higher. And now it's like 10 feet tall. It's like way taller than our car.
Yeah. That's kind of funny thing this morning. Especially after the snow plows came out. But yeah, like I've lived in Canada my whole life, which now going on like my 24th year of living. Oh my God.
How's that going for you?
And no, and like I've never I don't, like to my memory, I can't remember any snowstorm or like any snow day that was like that crazy. That was nuts. I looked outside my door, like my front door yesterday, and like so we usually so for those of you who don't know how my house is set up, we basically have like kind of like a stair setup. So it's like there's the sidewalk, there's stairs, and it kind of goes takes you to the front door. It was just completely flat from like my front door to my street. Like that was like it
Yeah.
was absolutely absurd. And like to see people actually driving around in that weather is completely crazy. It was crazy. But no, it was a lot better today. Obviously, there was not as much snow. The snow plows got out. And I think it was a bit warmer. But
Yeah.
hopefully everyone stays safe in their cars and getting around the city. And yeah, that's really it
I'm
was a
not sure
crazy
if
day
many
yesterday.
listeners can actually relate to this because, as it turns out, most of ours are actually from the US.
In the States, yeah, or at
So,
least according to our software that we have. But yes, go ahead.
yeah. But context-wise, this is like the worst snowfall that we've seen in like 10 years at least. So, a lot of shit going on. The weird part was school yesterday for the kids was not closed, it was virtual because for the last 2 weeks, everyone on the TDSB, so the Toronto District School Board, was already virtual due to COVID.
Yeah.
And yesterday, the TDSB is like, oh, let's just do one more day. And everyone got
Yeah.
sad because they're like, oh, does that mean like snow days won't ever happen again?
Yeah.
Like, is this
Basically,
new world
that
now?
occurred to me yesterday. That occurred to
Yeah.
me because I was thinking like when I had snow days when I was in elementary school, there just wasn't any school. There was no
It was the best.
Zoom. There was no virtual learning. There was no like option. And now like because of the pandemic, it feels like even with snow days, it's not even going to be snow days anymore.
I know, right? Like we used to wake up at like 6, 7 a.m. and just look at the news and just watch the recent updates. And then if it said like, oh, the school buses are canceled, we'd be like, oh, okay. There's hope for school being canceled now. And then you'd wait and wait
And
and wait to the
then,
last minute and then schools are canceled. You'd
no.
be like, yay! Best feeling ever.
Not wrong.
And turns out that might not ever happen again.
Probably
I
not. So disappointing, but probably not.
know, right? Anyway, hope everyone's digging out. We're about to jump into a pile of snow for this episode. See what I did there.
Before we get into the super depressing stuff, I just saw that the rest of the All-Star lineups, the last men in, were announced.
Oh, did you see that? I didn't see it.
Which, okay, so this will be, so do you have, hold on. Do you have the last men in candidates in front of you?
I don't, but I can remember them off the top of my head from last week.
Yeah. So I'm kind of happy.
Okay, wait. Most of can I guess?
Yeah.
Okay, so Atlantic Division. I'm just gonna guess John Tavares.
Nope.
Damn it! Barkov.
Yeah.
Nope. Ah. Fine, whatever. I don't really care. I say all the time that I don't give a shit about All-Star. Yeah. But here I am.
Did you want me to read them to you?
Metro, can I guess the winners for each one?
Yeah, just give me a second because I can't even remember who the last men and candidates were in the Metro Division. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
There's probably an article out there.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I have it now.
Okay.
Metro. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Metro Division candidates, what were they?
Metro Division was Svechnikov, Voracek, Jesper Bratt, Matthew Barzal, Mika Zibanejad, Cam Atkinson, Jay Gensel, and Evgeny Kuznetsov.
Kuznetsov.
No.
What was the second name you said?
Second name I said was Jacob Voracek.
Voracek.
Former. No.
Damn it. Who is it then?
Jake Gensel.
What? I was thinking Jake Gensel, but like, really?
Yeah. I mean, Pens fans are crazy, man. Like, over, like, I think the Rangers, like, sorry, not Rangers fans, Penguins fans are probably the most likely to vote their player in out of, like, the Capitals, Rangers, Devils. Maybe not the Rangers, but, like, the Devils, the Flyers.
Zibanejad is a surprise one.
I voted for Zibanejad. I really was hoping he was going to get in because I think he's the most deserving.
Yeah. Okay, hold whatever.
On. Oh, okay, right. Okay, oh, my God. Okay, I thought I misread something. Oh, my God. Okay, never mind. You guessed the Atlantic. Did you want to know who the Atlantic was?
Yeah, you told me. I guessed Barkov, and you said Barkov, right?
No, I did not. I said no.
I thought you said yes for Barkov.
No, it was not Barkov.
Hold on. Okay, was it Stamkos then?
Yeah, Stamkos.
Oh, okay, fine.
So we have Gensel, we have Stamkos for the Eastern Conference. And then, did you want to guess the Central and the Pacific?
Yeah, can you list the candidates again?
So, Central Division, Phil Kessel, Seth Jones, Nazem Kadri, Jason Robertson, Ryan Hartman, Roman Josi, Robert Thomas, and Mark Scheifele.
Okay, I'm going to guess Kadri.
Yep, it's Kadri. Okay. And then the Pacific, it was Troy Terry, Matthew Tkachuk, Darnell Nurse, Drew Doughty, Logan Couture, Mark Giordano, and JT Miller, and Jonathan Marchessault.
What was the second name you said?
Matthew Tkachuk. Nope. I'm disappointed in you. We talked about this guy like nonstop the first two episodes, first three episodes.
I'm blanking. What is it?
Troy Terry.
Oh, really? Oh, okay, wow.
Yeah, man. He made it in. I'm so happy. He actually
voted for Troy Terry. Our boy made it in. Wow.
He was the leading point getter amongst the last men in candidates for the Pacific Division. So, yeah, he will be representing the Anaheim Ducks along with John Gibson in, I think it's Vegas this year at the 2022 All-Star Game.
Yeah.
But still, I think it's great that Troy Terry got in. But I still have a whole slew of problems, as all of our regular listeners know, that all the problems I have with the All-Star Game after our last episode or two episodes ago. So,
yeah.
Anyways, yeah. So now the All-Star rosters are official, barring any injuries or any no-shows. But yeah, we'll see.
I went 2 for 4, which is probably your average score on Simon's segments.
About give or take, probably less than that. If anyone keeps track, let me know.
Yeah,
oh, that'd be funny. People do.
Yeah, that'd be funny if one day someone.
Maybe I'll go back and keep track for myself. We'll see. Anyways, yeah. So that's probably going to be the lightest segment, our lightest
part of today, yeah.
Part of today, unfortunately. So we're glad we could get that to you. Yes. But yeah, so I'm gonna let you kind of direct the traffic on this episode. Just because, again, I think you have a bit of a better plan than I do. So take it away.
Okay, so we have a lot to cover. I'm gonna first talk about Kyle Beach and that situation over there. I'm gonna try to keep each one as succinct as possible because I do want to get to everything that I want to get to today. Kyle Beach. So for everyone listening, Simon and I dedicated 2 or 3 episodes to just this situation back in, I think, October, November-ish.
Yeah.
We talked very extensively about the issue, as well as the Hawks, their response, as well as the league's response and everything. And we had nice, long-ass discussions and rants on Gary Bettman and everything. If you go back in time, you look at our podcast and you want to catch up on everything, look at those episodes and our opinions on everything. Yeah. Take a look at all the links in those descriptions as well for a thorough breakdown on what exactly happened back then.
Yeah.
But for now, we're just going to focus on what happened in December. So December.
Yeah. So like Armand said, I would suggest going back and kind of listening to everything as a whole, just because I think if you care about what we're talking about, which I think you should, especially if you like the sport of hockey, all that stuff is very important. It's just there's a lot that went down. There's a lot of information to be broken down, and it's kind of difficult. Yeah. Like, we just don't have the amount of time to be able to go through everything from the start. So again, if you haven't listened to the episodes that we previously recorded, I believe the first one was titled Justice for Kyle Beach. Definitely give that a listen, and then maybe come back to this one after, just because, again, much is the same reason why we decided to delay this one a bit. We think that if you want to actually be part of the conversation, or like to truly understand all the information that's being said in this conversation, you probably need to know all the information, all the facts, everything that happened, and kind of just where kind of the stuff that we are coming from is, some of the stuff we said is actually coming from. So anyways, that's all I wanted to say.
It's a good point. Definitely give that a listen if you haven't already. So early December, good news. Kyle Beach and the Blackhawks actually reached a private settlement. And so this is confidential. We don't know the details of what exactly the settlement looks like, but all we do know is that it is settled. For context, Kyle Beach filed a lawsuit against the Blackhawks for their handling of his sexual assault from Brad Aldridge. And I think early December is when that was finally wrapped up. So Rick Westhead was a key reporter on this. That's done. And I guess if you were looking for justice for Kyle Beach, justice is served. Again, I wish we knew about the details of this, but in lawsuits, it's usually the case. If they're settled outside of the court, no one has any idea what happens. You just hope that it was something beneficial for Kyle Beach.
Substantial, yeah. And like it's such a difficult, I don't want to say difficult, because again, like I hope what I would believe that whatever settlement they agreed upon, that Kyle Beach is going to be a very, very, very rich man for the rest of his life. But that being said,
I hope so.
Yeah, exactly. I hope so. That's kind of where it feels kind of weird for me to say something for us to kind of think of it like that, because I think if you were to go back, like if you were going to go into his mind and try to think about what his mindset is, I'm sure he's like, he's in a great position now, but I bet if you were asked him, like, this never should have happened. So the fact that he's probably going to be in a very good position for the rest of his life, I don't think that matters to him, considering just the amount of trauma and the amount of just, in the amount of shit that he had to go through in his career and leading up to it, and basically how he was basically kind of almost exiled from hockey because the league didn't want the rest of its fans, the rest of the world, to know what had happened. So again, I'm happy for him, and I hope that, again, I think the best thing for like just hockey and for everything is, while we can still try to improve, because again, the way this was handled and the way that the league, the Blackhawks, the members of the Blackhawks team went about their business is unacceptable. I just hope that Kyle Beach can kind of take now that the settlement is taken care of, I hope he can kind of just move on with the rest of his life and try to put the thing with the Blackhawks behind him, because I genuinely believe he deserves some type of inner peace, and just kind of he should be able to go on living the rest, living and enjoying the rest of his life peacefully.
Yep, 100%. I agree with everything you just said. I think you hope that the settlement is what John Doe, sorry, no point in saying John Doe won now, Kyle Beach wants. You hope that it, obviously, this situation should have never happened in the first place. And I don't want to look at it as like I really want him to be a rich man, because I don't think he himself wanted to get to this position in the first place, right? Like, he would have much rather preferred this never happened, rather being at the settlement and whatever. Obviously, now he deserves whatever he's getting. But again, we can talk on and on about why this shouldn't have even happened. So.
It feels kind of weird, because like initially when you hear someone like, oh, someone got like a lot of money, you want to say, oh, like I'm so happy for you, I'm so happy that you got that money. But then like when you actually think about it more, it's like, well, no, I'm not happy about like I'm not like I'm happy that you're in a better spot than you were like when you were 3 months ago or earlier on in your life, but like it's the reason why you got you what the reason why you're currently in why you are now currently in that position is just so horrible,
Shitty. Yep.
horrific, just terrible. Like, and I genuinely wouldn't wish that on anyone, not even like my worst enemy. Like, it's again, it's kind of disappointing how it feels like even now, like, because ever since October, it feels like the whole Kyle Beach thing, the Bill Guerin thing is very. It feels like it's just kind of disappeared. Like no one's really talking about it anymore. Maybe Bill Guerin a little bit, because that one's a little bit more recent, and it had a bit more significance because he was supposed to be the GM of the American hockey team for the Olympics. But like it's just kind of disappointing now, because again, like I genuinely hope the league can avoid stuff like this from happening again. I hope if again, I obviously don't hope that something like this happens again, but I hope if something like this happens again, the league can provide a way better response, because the first one was completely embarrassing. But the fact that now it feels like we're barely talking about it is a bit of a problem, which again, which
To
is maybe a discussion for another day. But
be fair, not much has happened since
correct.
October.
Yes. Yeah. I obviously understand that, and like I understand that, like oh, basically up until like from that point up until now, I think it's really the only thing that's really happened is John Doe, sorry, Kyle Beach and the Blackhawks have been working on a settlement. But it just kind of boggles me that like such a, because what they did was illegal. It was like, and the fact
Criminal
that,
negligence.
yeah, sorry, criminal, like that's a really good way to put it. The fact that like. Because basically what it feels like is the hot like once that came out, people like, oh, the Blackhawks because okay, we got cut. We fired Joel Quenneville. Sorry, no, we fired Stan Bowman, and Joel Quenneville's currently out of a job, so we're clean, right? And then it just kind of died. I don't know. Like there's just so many thoughts that are going through my head when it comes to this issue. Cause again, I think this is probably one of the most disgusting things that has come out in pro sports in the last couple years. In terms of just the like in terms of just of humanity and justice, and like the fact that we're basically just kind of like okay, like it's kind of I guess I'm probably just more thinking of the fact that like we're officially kind of coming towards the end of it, but I don't know. I'm probably just overthinking it at this point.
I think TLDR, you want to see the discussions continue on topics like these, whether or
Yes.
not it is the specific Kyle Beach stuff. By the way, can you hear anything in the background?
I can hear like a sink or something, but we're good. You're good. You're good. Don't worry.
Okay.
You're good.
By the way, for anyone listening, if you notice any strange like mic popping noises in any of our episodes, let us know, because we've been trying to figure it out. And I've heard it a couple times again on this episode, so I'm not too sure why it's happening. If anyone knows why it's happening, please let us know. Because
Yeah.
in the
Any
editing
audio
process, I
engineers out
keep
there?
noticing
But
it.
yeah. Yeah. I think you're fine. I haven't noticed anything so far myself, but
Okay.
I'm also like I have the awareness of a cucumber, so that's
Same.
anyways.
Anyways, okay, back to what I was saying. Yeah, you want to see the discussions continue. I want to continue talking about what happened since December. Mm-hmm. So Cal Beach, I think that's under wraps now. That's good. Good job. Finally, yep. The world arrived at a maybe happy-ish conclusion. John Doe 2, who was a Michigan high school student Brad Aldrich assaulted in 2013 after he was dismissed from the Blackhawks. So for those of you who don't know, when Brad Aldrich was left from the Blackhawks, they gave him a letter of recommendation and they failed to actually
disclose.
Someone knew, definitely people knew about what Aldrich did, but no one stopped him and no one actually raised anything to the authorities. And because of that, Aldrich went on to later sexually assault other people and then was later thrown in jail. So because of that, because of their failure to stop him and their criminal negligence, John Doe 2, who was a Michigan high school student, was assaulted by Brad Aldrich. And he also, or sorry, I don't know, I shouldn't say he or she, they filed a lawsuit against the Blackhawks as well. We don't know actually if that was settled or not. The only update I have regarding that is all the parties have refused to comment since December 27th, 2021. Now I'm going to quickly read over a couple of Rick Westhead tweets because I've read in certain articles that in situations like these, when neither party agrees to comment on a case and why the case was dismissed, because the case was dismissed completely, John Doe 2's lawsuit, it means mm-hmm. some sort of agreement or settlement has been reached. It's just that no one wants to talk about it. Rick Westhead said on December 27th, can confirm that John Doe 2's lawyer has withdrawn his lawsuit versus the Blackhawks, indicating a settlement has reached. Presumably Chicago, which has pledged to be a quote-unquote beacon for professionalism when settling Kyle Beach's case, demanded a NDA agreement covering both John Doe 2 and his lawyer. So, it is settled, but there's something iffy about it because there's an NDA. And NDAs are super, super strange. And Rick Westhead continues and says they remain highly controversial. For example, many organizations, including Hockey Canada, ban abuse survivors from sharing financial terms of civil settlements, but don't stop them from sharing their stories if they chose to. The Blackhawks, in filing the non-disclosure agreement and in making John Doe 2 sign it and agree with it, ensures that the details of that will never, ever reach the internet or the world.
Good.
Well, not good. I hope that they did. It's just that the settlement is okay. I don't care about.
Sorry.
I don't
care sorry. About- yeah. Sorry. That's what I meant. I didn't. Yeah. Sorry, poor choice of words on my part.
It's okay.
Like,
it's okay.
Yeah. Like, actually, sure, go ahead.
The settlement itself, I don't care as much as what happened and what prompted the lawsuit. If they arrived at a settlement, whatever money was given, cool. But I don't like the fact that this is hidden under wraps, like whatever was discussed. And the fact that John Doe 2 now is not allowed to share his story, it just seems a little sus to me. It just seems a little iffy.
Okay, So I misunderstood the whole concept of the NDA. I was under the impression that John Doe 2 actually wanted to keep it under wraps. Because again, I could see why someone would want to keep stuff something like this under wraps, just for privacy. Because again, not all victims of sexual assault want to be kind of identified and like they don't want to be talked about in like in the media, and I get that. But again, if it's a situation where the Blackhawks actually like requested an NDA, then yeah, that's pretty sketchy. I mean, I do hope that John Doe 2 did get their settlement, because again, we don't know up to this point, because again, everything surrounding the the lawsuit with John Doe 2 and the fact that it was withdrawn is very kind of, the information is limited. But again, like, I do hope that the John Doe 2 did get their law, did get their settlement. And like, again, oh my god, this is I'm at a loss for words, which is kind of surprising, but anyways,
that's okay. I am as well. I'm just like, if you notice, I'm not sharing as many opinions as I used to at this point. I'm just reading what happened. Mm-hmm. And whoever's listening right now, we've shared our opinions enough on this situation and our thoughts on Kyle Beach and everything. We can tell you infinitely times how disgusting we thought this entire scandal was regarding the Blackhawks. But just go back and listen to what we said.
Yeah, before. like if they go back, like there's just such a wide range of emotions from disappointment to rage to just overall shock in terms of that a professional sports organization could let this happen and not just let it happen, but also cover it up. It's just there's so many things that are wrong with pro sports. Again, a lot of people just use it as an escape. They don't really think about the politics or the things that go on behind the scenes, but the more days that go on, the more games that get played, the more incidents that happen, the more it's kind of people don't realize that, like, professional sports, like, there's so many things wrong with it right now.
Of course.
And there has been, and there has been for a while. Let's not kid ourselves here. And, like, it's just kind of, I think now that something like this has happened, where it feels like this is probably something I think a lot of people would say this would never happen in, like, a professional sports team or a professional sports league. But the fact that it's actually happened, I feel like it's kind of given people a wake up call to the fact that pro sports are fucking, like, tire fire. Like, it's kind of embarrassing. Just not even just the NHL, the NFL as well, the MLB. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Listen, change is good.
Indeed.
I'm glad that we are where we are now. We've definitely made a lot of progress since the last four Indeed. Or 5 months.
Indeed.
You just hope the conversation continues and situations like these only arrived because we talked about it over and over again, whether it's not saying it's because exactly. of our podcast, but it's because of the internet, you know, like, our podcast is a microcosm of what happened.
Yeah.
Like, we raised this issue. More people found out. I know some friends who found out about this issue just because they listened to our podcast about it. And that's great. Mm-hmm. I want more people to know about what this issue is.
Yeah. Like, I think it says, oh, sorry. I accidentally muted myself a second. I think it says a lot that there are people I know that didn't even watch hockey. And then they still heard about this Kyle Beach thing.
Yeah.
I think it says a lot about just the situation in terms of how far the media and like the league has come, because I don't think they deserve that much credit.
No.
But yeah, exactly. But anyways, like you said, like, I think all we can really do is just kind of keep the conversation happening to try to avoid situations like this. And I guess that's kind of where my comments previously came. Sorry, that was the main message that I wanted to convey when I brought up earlier, kind of how I was disappointed that the conversation, it feels like things have kind of gone quiet, that, like, I don't know. I think it's just in situations like this, I, like you said, we can, as fans, there's not much we can really do other than to try to just raise the issue and try to keep, make our opinions and voices heard. So, I mean, if you're a pro sports fan out there, just kind of hang tight and try to do your part, I guess.
Yep. Okay, so that's all I have to talk about Rick Westhead. Sorry, not Rick Westhead. John Doe 1 and 2. Well, I guess kind of Rick Westhead in a sense. Anyway.
Yeah.
Now moving on, there's a second story I want to bring up, and it's kind of in the same vein regarding hockey controversies.
Also, one second. Before we move on, I just want to say, I know we've kind of talked about them in the past, but now that it feels like this Kyle Beach thing is kind of, like, actually done, if you haven't already, I would strongly suggest going back and reading every one of Rick Westhead's and Katie Strang's articles, not just surrounding the Kyle Beach situation, but just about their writing in general, their articles in general. Both of them are very, very, very talented investigative journalists, and there's a lot of good things. Like, I knew Rick Westhead before this thing dropped, but even then, like, if you are looking for something interesting to read, or if you want to find out more about the Kyle Beach situation, I would strongly suggest going back and reading the articles, because they are truly, like, they're pieces of art. They're really well written.
Yep. I have nothing but respect for them. They've done a great job over the last few months.
Agreed.
Okay.
So anyways, hockey trying controversies.
Do you know about the PEI situation?
The PEI situation? No, I do not. Oh, no. What happened?
This happened in December and was resolved on January 12th.
Oh, my God.
Regarding hockey PEI and giving a suspension to a couple players. You don't know anything about it, right?
No, I don't think so.
Good. Because now I'm going to tell you the whole story. You're going to be a listener right now, okay? I'm going to let you soak it in.
Ooh, yay. I like these situations. Go ahead.
And I want you to stop me anytime during my description of this so that you can share your opinions and your thoughts on anything. Okay.
I'm gonna try to wait till the end, just so I have all the information, but sure, go ahead.
Okay.
I'll mute myself. Go ahead.
I won't be surprised if you stop me because some of it's pretty ridiculous. Okay.
Okay.
So, again, I'm not bringing this up to take away anything from the Kyle Beach situation. I'm just bringing this up because I think it's fitting regarding the topics we're covering in today's episode.
Just given the tone of the episode and given the ongoing theme we've talked about, I don't know what you're going to bring up, but I have a pretty, just based on the fact that you felt that it was like, that was appropriate to talk about in this episode, like it seems right to try to kind of bring it together to kind of keep the common themes apparent.
It's hard to bring these things into like an episode where we're just talking about the Leafs, for example. So
yeah, no, exactly. Like it's like we talk about it like relatively frequently, like just really difficult, like rough transitions going from one topic to the other. So when you have situations like this where it's like, anyways, I'm sure people know what we mean.
Yeah.
But anyways, go ahead.
Okay, so December 17th, this takes place in PEI, so Prince Edward Island. This is a province in Canada for all of our US listeners. December 17th, the Sherwood Metros and Kensington Vipers, so they're two hockey teams in hockey PEI, they played a game. And a player on the Vipers said an anti-Asian slur towards someone on the Metros. Neither of those two players are publicly identified. Then later in the game, a player on the Sherwood Metros, his name is Keegan Mitchell. Keegan Mitchell, who is the teammate of the player on the Sherwood Metros who received the racist slur, slashed the offending player, the hockey player who said the racist slur, in the legs and earned a 2-game suspension for that. So far, Keegan Mitchell slashed the person who said the racist slur and received the 2-game suspension. That's the result. Who was unidentified, which is fine. And the suspension, 2 games for slashing, it is what it is. I would never recommend fighting fire with fire. If you want to solve these things, it's words.
Yeah.
I know it's hard, but words are better than fists, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Anyway, Keegan Mitchell, who was suspended for 2 games, then went on social media and criticized Hockey PEI. He said on a Facebook post, I think, for those of you, quote unquote, for those of you who know me personally or through hockey, I am almost absolutely certain you recognize me as someone who always stands up for themselves, but more importantly, for my friends and teammates. If Hockey PEI took these scenarios as seriously as they say they do, this player would have been suspended appropriately. Because at this point, only Keegan Mitchell is suspended. Soon after, Hockey PEI went ahead and suspended the player who said the racist slur for 2 games. But they then suspended Keegan Mitchell indefinitely for violating its social media policy because you technically are not allowed to criticize the league or the officials. So now Keegan Mitchell is suspended. He's banned from the league. Done. And the player who said the racist slur, 2 games. I'm going to stop there. What are you thinking?
This is I want to say I'm surprised. Again, given the stuff that's come out the last couple of years, Akim Liu, some of the other kind of racial injustice things that's come out, not just really in the NHL, but in hockey, I want to say I'm surprised, but I'm really not, to be honest. Like, because again, the measures that this league took to basically kick this guy out of the league is seems eerily similar and feels like something the NHL would do. It's basically shut up and play, essentially.
Yeah.
Like it's no longer, okay, if you don't like, our policies, okay, see ya. Like we have a strict policy where you're not allowed to criticize the officials of the league. And if you are, you're not going to be playing in the league. That just seems so wrong. So just, there's so many things that just seem so wrong about this, that seems wrong about that.
And but they fail to understand the point that Keegan Mitchell was trying to make.
Exactly. Like the fact that, anyways, like again, you nailed it. But yeah, like the fact that they failed to see the bigger picture of kind of the whole situation as a whole. Again, I want to say I'm surprised, but I'm not.
Yeah. And this comes at a time in the world where these situations are happening. They're not happening more than ever, but it's just that the microscope on these situations now is greater than ever before. And this is something massive that we're actively trying to take away from our society. And Hockey PEI failed to do that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then Mitchell went on social media again and he said, I'm not going to let this go. This is after his indefinite suspension. He said, if I don't ever play hockey again, that's fine by me because I'm going to fight until this is right. Obviously now this whole situation didn't go well with people around the world and the internet and Hockey Canada even stepped in, I think, because on January 12th, now this is nearly a month later after the incident, only 6 days ago, Hockey PEI released a statement on a social media saying, quote unquote, as an organization and as individuals, we need to take a stand against racism and help make the hockey environment a safe and welcoming place for everyone. We commend Keegan for speaking up for what was right and shining a spotlight on our missteps around this tragic incident. They then rescinded his indefinite suspension and turned the player, the one who said the offensive slur, from 2 games suspension to a 5-game suspension instead. Now Keegan is allowed to play again. On Twitter, the statement, we'll put a link to it in our description below.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think they have one on Twitter that said on December 17th, an act of racism occurred in a game between these two teams. Hockey PEI believes fundamentally that racism and discrimination of any form have no place in the game. And we acknowledge and express our sincere regret for errors that were made in our handling of the incident. Hell yeah. You made a ton of errors in handling the incident. And then they go on to say, we are committed to changing not only the guidelines of the game on the island, but the culture as well. We can and will do better. I hope so. That was a joke of what you did over the last month. I wish the conclusion came earlier, but again, I think the world was paused for a few weeks during COVID. So, still,
man, that's ridiculous. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing. I think it's great that the Keegan Mitchell gets to play again. I really do. It's great that that his suspension was revoked. As someone who is and there's like the fact, obviously it's great that he's playing in the league again, but the only reason that happened was because he decided to reach onto social media. And I personally believe that the only reason that they would have actually, okay, we're going to bring you back, we're going to review all our policies and our protocols, everything, that feels a lot like lip service. And basically just the only reason they did that was because they knew
PR. That they're PR move.
Yeah, exactly. There's just the PR, and it's just like, just to basically try to save face when someone I don't think it's short of saying it's a hate crime, or it's not hate crime, but like it's hate speech. A victim of someone basically calling them a racial slur was basically informing the public of an incident that happened in their league. To me, that's just, it's embarrassing. Like you said, it's a joke. As someone who, so like for those of you who don't know, I'm half Asian, and like I played minor league hockey, and even when I was playing minor league hockey, when I was playing minor hockey, one of my teammates got called a racial slur, who is also Asian. Like, so this is a very, I don't want to say very, like it's just, it's a bit sensitive. I don't want to say sensitive, but like just the whole Asian hate thing going, that's been going around the world for a while is definitely something that's kind of, that I've kind of hold relatively close to my heart. But like the fact that basically there was a Asian man someone was called an Asian, like a slur, and the league basically did nothing about it until he decided to take to social media and basically try to out the league. It's just, there's so many things wrong with that. And when we're trying to grow the game, we're trying to make the game more welcoming, more appropriate, more acceptable to like all races, genders, whatever you want to call it, it's like, this is so inconsistent with that message and that whole idea. So again, great that he's playing again. I give no credit to the league. To me, that five, even they, them extending his 3-game suspension to 5-game suspension is ridiculous. I think it should be way longer.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And basically, I think it basically just tells this nameless player, which the fact that he's nameless, I think is very significant, that if you call someone a racial slur, you're gonna get 5 games. You're gonna have to issue no apology whatsoever, and you can, and there's no real consequence for your actions. You basically get a slap on the wrist, and then you can go back out there in 5 games as if absolutely nothing happened. And that's kind of where I think the main problem I have with the situation is, amongst many others.
Take in all the obstacles and the hurdles that we had to jump over to arrive at this 5-game suspension.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Look at what happened between his 2-game suspension and his 5-game suspension. We had to go through all that just to give him 3 extra games.
Yep.
Who went through the worst part of this all is, who do you think went through more in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
The person who said the offensive slur, or the teammate who stood up for his own teammate who received the offensive slur and tried to make a difference and went on social media to protect his teammate?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, it's embarrassing. Like, oh my God. Yeah. Anyways. It's just so unacceptable, man. And again, I don't know what other leagues are like in terms of, like, because again, we have our idea of what the NHL is like. Oh, Gary Bettman, Bill Daly, old white man's club, old man's club. And it's kind of disappointing to think that a lot, like, even minor league hockey leagues are like that as well.
This is part of, I hate saying this, but it's part of hockey culture.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of hockey culture as well. Whether we want
to, it's heartbreaking to think that.
Yep.
Again, this is part of the reason why Don Cherry was hanging around for so long. That's the part of the reason why we have the same executives, the same commissioner, the same other people running our game for so long. And again, I was someone who, I think the Eastern provinces are very, they're obviously very nice people. I've been out to the East Coast, East Coast Canada, like Newfoundland, Nova Scotia myself. They're very nice people.
Yep.
And the fact that somewhere as close to that, like PEI is very close to those provinces, for those of you who are not from Canada or don't know your Canadian geography all that well. So the fact that the hockey league in that province is just so, is like that, is devastating, at least to me.
I also want to say thank you for bringing up your anecdotal experience as well regarding Asian hate. And I think you mentioned that your friend went through something like this.
Yes, sir. I will keep names out because I do not know if he wants, anyways, go
which
ahead.
Which is perfectly fine. I hate the fact that this is the world. And this all starts from the top down. And we know what the top is, right? We know it's the NHL.
Oh, yeah.
So my biggest question is, okay, it's PEI, right? Small league.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, it's still hockey, right? Then again, it's still a professional league to an extent.
Oh, yeah.
And the NHL has been dealing with this situations like these for the last 2-3 seasons now. Immensely. So where's their word on it? Does anyone have anything to say? Not even one sentence? Not a statement? Not anyone from the league has any thoughts about this? Like, do they stand with Keegan Mitchell? Like, what are they going to do about it?
Nope.
I haven't heard anything. And I haven't seen anything. Maybe I missed an article. I don't know.
Yep.
But no, fuck that. I'm not giving the league the benefit of the doubt. They didn't say anything.
Yep.
So that's my question. Yeah. Nothing is going to change unless there is something that happens from the top. And the league missed an opportunity again. Talk about good PR. Mm-hmm. Talk about bad PR, right?
Yep.
We know what happened with Hockey PEI. That's bad PR. Yep. Why didn't the NHL look at this as an opportunity to generate some good PR? Make a statement regarding this. You don't have to do anything. Just say that we acknowledge what happened, that we know what happened. Right? So people know that if anyone in any professional league says some shitty thing, says some racist slur, that the people at the top are listening as well. At your words, they go up to the very top. That's how you eradicate shit like this from the world.
Yep. Yep. Sorry, so just give me one. I'm trying to pull something up. So I'm trying to pull something up to kind of, because again, like you said, this starts at the top. This is this whole racist issue is a whole, it's a whole thing. This is a trend. We've seen it time and time again, not just in the NHL, in Europe, in Canadian leagues, professional minor league. And again, there's a lot of people who I'm sure will say, oh, that's not possible. Like, sorry, like we can't change something that's that massive. Like changing one person won't do anything. And there's one situation I want to bring up because this kind of reminds me of something. So in the NBA in 2014, I believe it was, there was a situation where one of the owners, whose name was Donald Sterling, and all my basketball fans will kind of know where I'm going with this, but Donald Sterling had a voiced recordings published from TMZ, where he was making racist statements to, I believe it was his mistress. I can't remember exactly who it was, but he had racist comments published to social media. Everyone heard it. Everyone knew who Donald Sterling was, and basically his players. Because so Donald Sterling was the owner for the Los Angeles Clippers at the time. For those of you who aren't familiar, so like they were on the at the time their players like Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, Jamal Crawford, I believe was one of the Clippers at the time, and they all protested like, we don't want to play, like we're not going to wear the warm-up apparel that with this team's name on it until something is done. And Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA, basically decided to fine him the maximum allowable and made him sell the team. The change can happen. Some people might say, just getting rid of Gary Bettman isn't going to change anything. This has happened in many different leagues, and the NBA is a perfect example of when something did happen. And like ever since then, at least in the league, it feels like there's been very little racist activity amongst the league. Now, again, maybe that's because it's just not being reported, it's not coming to light. But the fact that there is just nothing, I think, says a lot. And again, Adam Silver is exactly the type of GM is the exact type of commissioner that I wish is running the NHL, the MLB, because he just seems like such a solid dude, and he has all of his priorities in check that like the NHL has not seen, I think, ever, or at least in a very long time.
The NBA is in a completely different stratosphere, though. Like, we can't even compare the two leagues.
That is fair. I was more so just talking about just in principle, not necessarily in terms of the shock waves, but the fact that there was an incident and they dealt with it the best way that they possibly could have.
That's my point. I don't mean like the league is bigger or whatever. I just mean that their handling of situations like this is just so much better.
Oh, yes. I 100% agree with that. 1000%. Yep.
Yeah, and it's always been that way. Like, since I've known the NBA, since I've known the NHL, it's just two completely different groups of people. Like, one knows, one understands, one is modern. The other one is stuck in the 60s.
Yep. Yep. And again, I might be missing something. And if I am, please, feel free to tweet at me or get in the comments and say something. But the only, like, the last racist thing I remember, like, significant racist thing I can remember happening in the NBA wasn't even, like, done by the league. It was in 2019 when Masai Ujiri tried getting on the court, and the security guard basically let him because he didn't have his credentials. The league had no control over that whatsoever. because it's not their employee. It's basically their, it's anyways, like
that was the dumbest thing ever. That was
yeah. Oh, anyways, it's done now. I'm glad it's over, but like this is just the NHL, man. It's
special.
That's a good way to put it.
And I don't know how long we've been going now. I think 45
it's been minutes? about an hour.
Oh,
been okay. About an hour.
I wanted to talk about one more thing. Okay, I'm gonna do it.
Okay. Yep.
And what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna talk about it, and I'm gonna leave this episode on a question, which is our perfect segue into our next episode.
Okay.
And so I'm gonna talk about half the story. We're gonna kick things off in the next episode with the rest of the story for anyone listening. So this will be
did the story you're talking about occur in Ukraine?
No.
Oh,
what happened in Ukraine?
Okay, so I'll keep this very, very, very short because again, this is a massive other problem. And again, if you have time, I'd suggest going back and reading. This happened back in September. Jalen Semrick, who is an African American player who was playing in the Ukraine,
yes.
he was basically called a racial slur, and basically the UHL, which is I think it's the Ukrainian Hockey League. There's a forward, Andrei Deniskin, who called him a racial slur, and I think he was only suspended like 5 games. Or something. It was something very, very, very insignificant.
Yeah. I remember now. Yeah. I remember reading about this a couple months ago.
And he was taunting Samurai by mimicking peeling a banana and eating it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Has there been any recent advancement into that story?
There's no advancement in that story. Okay. And I just thought it was relevant considering basically
you're right. It 100% is relevant. Unfortunately, I didn't get any notes on that one. We can talk about
it. No, it's okay. Future. Again, yeah. So you anyways, I'll keep it short. Deniskin given maximum 3-game ban for racism. So yeah. Anyways,
yeah, it's
confirmed was given a compulsory ban covering 3 games so it was 3 games with 10 games being optional. When's the last time you heard about an optional suspension?
Yeah, what does that mean?
He can basically choose to sit out or not.
And what did he do?
He played. Yeah,
so what the fuck is the point?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. 3 games, optional 10, with additional 10 being optional. It was basically fined $19,000. I think it's American. Sorry, yeah, $1,900. So $1,900. So, yeah. Anyways.
And then I have a report right up over here that kind of ties it together. It says Jalen Semrick has parted ways with the Ukrainian Hockey League and has come to a mutual agreement with HC Donbass to terminate his contract. And this was from October 11th last year.
Yeah. So it was right around, that was a part of the, well, I think what people were regarding as the Armageddon or the apocalypse with the Kyle Beach thing, Jalen Semrick. It was just a really rough couple weeks in October. Now, again, hopefully Jalen is playing somewhere else and can actually enjoy his hockey career. But hopefully, again, he can get some justice because just the way that the UHL dealt with it was absolutely embarrassing.
Yep. there's a lot of people that talked about this a couple months ago. Unfortunately, yeah, we couldn't get to it. And I think at this point, what we'll do is we'll link in the description regarding any article that we can find regarding this situation.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try to summarize it there for anyone who is interested in knowing more about it. Definitely take a look at that.
Yeah, exactly. Again, like, yeah.
But I guess for now, the all we can say is the punishment that was given to Deniskin was garbage, and
the punishment didn't fit the crime.
Not at all. And I'm reading that he was suspended with the option for 10 games unless he paid the fine of around $2,000. Unless he paid the fine.
Canadian. Got it. I see.
Okay. I mean, we can talk about that itself. You're basically saying that, yeah, you can commit a crime, right? Because it's a hate speech in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a racist taunt. It's bad. But you can pay some money to get out of it, right? Just pay a little bit of money.
Welcome to hockey,
like,
man.
Like, here's your wrist. Give me your wrist. Ah, don't do that.
Yeah, basically. Again, sound familiar? Sounds familiar to me.
I'm telling you, it starts from the top, and this is around the world. So any league you look at, it's gonna have this shit inside, unless a change is made at the very top.
Mm-hmm.
The NHL.
Go ahead. No, okay, you heard. Okay. Oh.
Okay, the NHL, I don't know how much influence it has around the world, right? I assume a lot. So does the IIHF. Right?
Go ahead. Sorry. I'll say what I'm going to say after. Go ahead.
And so I'm interested in knowing what their NHL, the IIHF, what their plans are to eliminate this sort of stuff from happening around the world, not just in their own respective leagues, but around the world in the coming years. We know that we know some of their statements. We know what their thoughts are at this point, PR-wise at least. But what are they going to do? I'd love to see some sort of agenda regarding this stuff going forward, right? Like, what are they going to crack down on this? I don't want to see just reactions to the stuff, because we've seen this happen everywhere around the world. And it's not just hockey that I'm talking about now. We've seen this happen so many times, and every time we just react to it. When are we going to get a plan for how to eliminate this stuff from happening in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
Why does a Kyle Beach situation have to happen? Why does he have to get to that point? And now we have to talk about whether or not his settlement is fitting of the crime and whatever. Why are we that far? Why isn't this nipped in the bud, or whatever the saying is? I said it wrong.
Yep.
No, at the very beginning.
You got it right. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple of things here. Here's the thing. The NHL, I think, of all the major sports leagues, probably has the lowest amount of pull globally than any other league. If you put LeBron James, or not even LeBron James, everyone knows LeBron James. If you put like Klay Thompson, who's like an all-star, but he's not like a superstar, if that makes sense. Like, people, like, if you put him in China, people know who he is. If you put like someone like, sorry, go ahead.
I want to clarify. I meant like the NHL's influence in comparison to the rest of the hockey leagues around the world.
I know. I'm getting to that. And then you have, like, I guess not, just to try to like kind of summarize my point, because I don't want it to be too long. So I didn't bring the Jalen Semerek thing up because I wanted to like. I just brought up because I thought it was relevant. But anyways, like, the NHL just globally, I think, has like even within its own, even within other leagues, has very little, like, I don't want to say relevance, but like they're not related at all. And that's in contrast to like the MLB. Like, so I guess one comparison to be like, if you're talking about like the MLB with like the KBO, which is the Korean baseball organization, something like that, there's other leagues where like those are a lot more intertwined. In the NHL, like there's no relation, no relationship, no communication between the NHL and like the Swiss Hockey League, or the like the Ukrainian Hockey League in this example, the KHL. Like, and I think that's such a massive problem for many different reasons, but specifically for this reason, like, where you have these racist incidents that are going on, and basically, because you have no relationship, because you're not related at all, because there's no correlation in between your two leagues, sorry, there's no real relation between your two leagues, other than the fact they both play hockey, like, you don't feel like you need to make a statement, and I think that's a problem. Now again, I don't know. Like, so I'm trying hard, very hard not to like kind of pull stuff out of my ass, but like I feel like the NBA and the NBA and the MLB are a lot more open and a lot more vocal about these issues that happen in other leagues, whereas the NHL is not. Now again, I don't know what the NBA comparison would be, because to my knowledge, I don't think there's really any other like major basketball league outside of maybe like in Europe or like anyways, like it seems like the NHL is just so less socially aware of things involving social justice and racism right now. And it's just as someone who is like, I'm half Asian, so as someone who's like half visible minority, it's kind of disappointing to see that, well, number one, there's not a lot of Asian people in the sport. And just like the fact that like, even when there are racist, like hate crimes and racist comments made to players, not even just in the NHL, like in other leagues, so that like the NHL doesn't feel the urge or the need to kind of step up and say like that we are the number one league for this sport in the world, and this is a problem, we should make a statement to kind of try to rectify it, to make sure that people know this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where my like, that's again, this is where my frustration with the league on this particular issue roots with or sides with. So anyways, I don't know. I'm just kind of ranting at this point.
I think the rant is justified. I think the more we
Me too.
The more we see these situations come up, we have our thoughts, right? We shouldn't feel bad that we talk about them, right? It is what it is. Mm-hmm. Like we're at this part of the world now where we're at a critical juncture where you can either do something about it or you can just like react to it, right? Mm-hmm. You just be like, oh no, this happened. Shouldn't have happened.
Yep.
And do it again and again and again and again. Repeat like 500 times. Or you can suck it up, like grow some balls and fix it. So NHL, can you please fix this?
They won't. They will not. That breaks my heart, but they will not. Anyways, you had one last thing you want to talk about. So I'll let you quickly breeze through that and then we can kind of... cut it off.
I'll save it for next episode now.
what's it about? Can I give us a preview?
Okay. It's not in the same exact stratosphere as what we were just talking about, but it's tangentially related in the sense that it's regarding a player in the NHL and
Evander Kane.
His stupidity. Yeah.
Evander Kane.
Yes. Bingo. So I will save.
Is it the Connor McDavid press conference?
It has a bit of that too.
Yes, I love it. Okay, good. I wanted to talk about it last week. Okay, good.
I want to dedicate next episode just purely on Evander Kane and the Edmonton Oilers.
No, no, no more. Okay, a little, we can talk a bit about it because I do. I have a lot to say about the Oilers. Actually, let's make it an Oilers episode.
I would 100%. Love to make an. I was gonna. My plan for this episode was to introduce Kane, and because of what Kane has done recently, I wanted to bring up the Oilers because you know how it's related now, right?
Oh yeah.
And then next episode will be completely Oilers. So if anyone is listening to this and you're an Oilers fan, we're gonna be shitting all over you guys next episode.
Yes, so don't listen, please. I have so much to say. Oh my god, I'm so ready. Anyways.
Same. Yes. I'm ready to end it there.
I'm not, but that's okay.
I want to talk about the Oilers so badly, but I think for the sake of time, let's save it.
I didn't know you want to talk about the Oilers. Oh, I'm so ready. Okay. Oh, next week is gonna be on Thursday. Thursday is gonna be a good
one. Today's Tuesday, right? Okay. Yeah, so Thursday, yeah.
Oh yeah. So just to clarify, we had been operating the last semester. I'm going to say last semester because I'm a student. We were operating on a Monday to Wednesday schedule for uploads. For recordings. We are now shifting that from Tuesday to Thursday because it operates around my schedule a bit better. Anyways. Yeah,
and next week will probably be Tuesday, Thursday too, right? Because you said your lab is going to be Monday.
It's probably going to be Tuesday, Thursday the rest of the way, just because I have labs every Monday at like 3 to 7 early, or 3 to 6, at least that's the time slot.
Okay.
So anyways,
that's cool. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah.
Again, if you notice any audio issues, let us know. I keep hearing this popping again and again. Maybe I just have really sensitive ears. I don't know. Like right there.
I didn't hear it.
Okay, I don't know. Right there.
Also, might be my saliva, man.
No, no way. It's not
loud. Well, my gain's really high. Anyways, this is irrelevant. Yeah. And we'll figure it out. I'll get back to you. If you have it, also, if you have any comments or any topics or any things you want us to talk about, feel free to add us on Twitter or comment on our Instagram page. Actually, we don't have any posts on our Instagram, which probably puts a problem. We'll get that going. Our YouTube is now going to be up. Our YouTube is finally going to be ready, so be free. So feel free to subscribe, watch, comment.
Yeah, we do have some views on our two videos that we have up right now, but the rest of our videos will be up soon. Yeah, I think it's not much. Yeah. It's like 20.
There's going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot coming up in the next little bit. So feel free to give it a watch. But that's all I got.
Same.
Yeah.